Hello, I'm Colin Green, and you are listening to Spike Pit.
Yo, Colin, dude, so I had to call because you're the only person I know other than me that's read Moonwalking with Einstein, and that got me super pumped up. I loved that book. I just found it fascinating, man. All that stuff with memory is just, it's so cool. The brain is just such an interesting organ that we don't know that much about, and we're learning more every day. I just watched this video on the 60 Symbols YouTube channel, which is a fantastic channel. It's a bunch of UK dudes talking about science and stuff from like the University of Nottingham. And the host was at a new facility showing off this new machine that they have to image brains. And it was just so cool. It used these magnets and electromagnetism. It was really cool. Also, Freakonomics is a fun book. Yeah, I'm glad to hear you're doing well, man. Get well soon. Peace out.
After that call, I feel like I'm a little bit behind the curve. And these books have all been read. But, man, awesome call in from Joe. You ever been somewhere on your own, you've travelled somewhere and you've seen something really great and you get that whole feeling that, oh, if I could have just shared this with someone, it would have been so much better, you know. You've built yourself up and you're looking forward to something and you go somewhere and I feel sometimes things are just not the same when you can't share them. So I know exactly, Joe, what you're talking about when you say you're pumped. I too thought Moonwalking with Einstein, if I talk about this on the podcast, who's gonna know what I'm on about? And boom, Joe Richter knows. I should have known I could rely on you, Joe. I could rely on you to know this stuff and Freakonomics as well. I will be checking out these guys from Nottingham University. I'll listen back to your message again. And next time I'm going to write it down and I'm going to check out that YouTube channel because I think that brain science stuff is amazing. It's amazing what they can do. This knowledge about how the brain works, it's got to be useful. It's unlocking some of these mysteries. In some ways, you almost don't want them to find out and demystify, but in a lot of ways it's fascinating, groundbreaking stuff. Literally mind-blowing.
It's cool that you're reading Freakonomics. I read that book a few years ago. I should probably dust it off and flip through it again. It's really amazing how they show how it's hard to argue with data, but it's very easy to misinterpret data if you don't know what you're looking at. So, but it's really kind of cool the way they show some of the weird counterintuitive things that you can discover when you just start grabbing large data sets and running the numbers. So I'm glad you're reading that. And I'm sorry to hear you've got COVID. Hopefully it'll continue to just be a mild case and you'll be back on your feet in a few more days. Take care of yourself. I'm enjoying listening to all the episodes you put out recently. Talk to you later.
Now, I'm convinced that something's going on. Perhaps we've got a super competent librarian at school curating all these selections of books, and I am benefiting from her knowledge. As it seems, it's not just a randomly good pick for Freakonomics. It's as though my destiny lay in reading this book. I just happened to be the last person to actually get around to it. So the reading currently has had to take a little bit of a back seat because I've been full on exploring technology in the classroom and bringing it into my gaming. We call it blended learning or edtech. And last time I talked a little bit about Kahoot. Well, I thought gamers being gamers might like a quiz. So I've been running some quizzes once a week on Spike Pit Patreon with a pit crew and some of my family and gaming buddies. Yeah, we only get between sort of 10, 15 players, but it does tickle me that people from all over the world are basically joining in what amounts to a glorified pub quiz. They don't take long to do. It's a little bit of fun. And the reigning champion at the moment, I think he won't mind me saying, is Mr. Joe Salvador. And he is, of course, the brains behind Raven God Games and one of my favourite white box driven RPGs, Eldritch Tales. If you're interested in learning more, check out my recent review that I've posted in the back catalogue.
I am sorry that I missed that Kahoot quiz. By the time I checked my email and was able to click on the link, I think the moment had passed, but I've used that. I think that would be a good tool to use with students for some in-classroom activities. I've used it at a couple of office Christmas parties, just as a party game. But then when we couldn't be together for the holidays last year with my wife's family because of COVID and everything, my sister-in-law put together a couple of them that we played. I think my sister-in-law did one and my brother-in-law did one that we just played. We all got together on a Zoom call and then all got our smartphones out to actually respond to the quiz. So that was a good time. So I'm glad you discovered that tool. And hey, any excuse to do something with Star Wars, right?
Hold on a minute, hold on. Is anybody else, any astute listeners, picking up on a theme to this episode of the podcast? I'm thinking, should we call this a podcast all about ideas that Spike Pit's not come up with? It's all been done before. Only joking. It's great to hear that BJ's tried this out and it is working for him. So I haven't tried it in the gaming setting, but we've got someone you're going to recognise who's got some thoughts on this one. So let's get over to them. It's Mr. Jason Connolly.
So I listened to episode 453, Into the Pit, and really enjoyed it. And you have a couple interesting things there. Let's talk about the technology part, right? You asked about the use of quizzes and things in these online things in the game, in-game, maybe in-person games or even online games to simulate puzzles and things like that. I don't know that I would mind it that much, but I could see where it would pull people out of the game. And I could see where some people would be distracted by that, because they're sitting there worried about the character sheet and worried about dice and worried about just looking at other players. And now they're having to look and interact with this computer while they're doing it, or interact with a different screen, and you know, that's away from the game. I mean, maybe if, I don't know, I could see it being a distraction for people that value immersion, whatever immersion means. I think it could distract some players, and I think other players would embrace it. So I think it would be a group by group thing.
And it should come as no surprise to you that Jason makes a good point. And it should also come as no surprise to you that old Spike Pit never really gave this much consideration. Immersion, some of the problems of tech at the table. Yeah, well, it's kind of conceptual. I quite often have these weird ideas and I don't give them a whole lot of thought. I just kind of get this, oh, this might be a cool thing, and I throw it out there. So the voice of reason. What else has he got to say? Because I have talked about technology at the table myself, and I have kind of come out and pushed back against it at times. So let's give Jason the floor again.
When we're playing online, we wanted to go super minimal, you know, get as much technology out of the way as possible. Just use a Zoom call or something where you just see, or Google or whatever the Google version is, where you're just seeing the person and talking to them, right? Google Meet, I think. But when we're playing face-to-face, now we're talking about pulling in technology and using a lot of technology, which I find very interesting. And this was happening before everybody went online. Now, I've played online before all this current mess with COVID and all. But prior to COVID coming on, there was a big push. I don't know if you remember, but there were people talking, and I think Pete Jones talked about this on his show, about the trend to use what are effectively big screen TVs as the table. And there are programs where you could have basically this table, there's a big screen TV, and that would have the scrolling map and you could put your figures on it and all that kind of thing. So that use of bringing technology into your face-to-face gaming session. And then we got online and we have all these online tools and everybody wanted to go back, or at least I wanted to go back. Some people embrace the video gameness of it, but personally, I like just seeing the face and hearing the voice and doing everything manually at home and everybody managing their own dice and character sheets and all that. So I don't know if that is a psychological thing, that we want to use less tech when we're playing online and more tech when we're playing in person, or if it, yeah, I don't know what the push there is, but I do think it's an interesting dichotomy. Is that the right word? I don't know. You're the smart guy these days, not me.
Yeah, I don't know. I hear you, Jason, and I'm not really sure why I'm kind of pursuing this. I guess it's a little bit to do with, as I said, my job taking me more in the direction of using computers and seeing what they can do. And it's all handy practice. I quite like crossing the streams. If I can come up with some sneaky ideas in my gaming, I can bring into a school project that might excite the kids or a future gaming group in school. All well and good. And likewise, if I think it, something in school that could feed into the gaming hobby, something that I'm learning from the experts in their field, I'm going to try that out. But yeah, I'm not a massive fan initially of the idea of a monitor setting the table. But now I'm thinking, and you remind me of it, yeah, I could see some benefits for that, for sure. Some more thought, but thanks for the awesome calls, Jason. And I dare say we hear from you a little bit later on. In other media, something I've been catching up with is a TV series from 2010, a BBC TV series. I watch it on iPlayer. It's called The Normans. And in episode one, there was a really interesting talk about the Bayeux Tapestry. And they were explaining that back in the day, in the time 1066 and around that era, bishops would take part in battles. They'd get involved in the warfare, but they were forbidden to shed blood. Now, I know you'll probably guess what's coming. Well, who's this in common with but the clerics and the likes from D&D? And actually shown in the embroidery, these bishops are portrayed by a finely clad rider with a great big club. It's no accident. It's not just missewn or embroidered or anything like that. These are clearly, well, this is not my interpretation, but the guy was explaining in the documentary that these were the bishops and they carried clubs on their horsebacks because they were forbidden to shed blood. I find that pretty interesting and lends weight to that idea of your cleric with their mace down in the typical dungeon. I mean, I'm probably not telling you anything here, but it's an interesting program. I enjoyed it, and that stood out to me as a nice little takeaway nugget of information.
Hey Colin, this is Menion, also known as Rob here. So thank you so much for the mention. And I just wanted to say that I've recently been really enjoying your discussions about the teaching, and it's really helped me in some ways. So it's good to see other people doing well and trying something new, and it's quite heartening. So I just wanted to mention that. I did even look up about teacher training in the UK, but that's not something really I would ever be able to do now. But it just sounds fantastic. But I'm really, more than that, I think it's great that you're doing something new, and it's obviously something that's exciting you and challenged you. So wow, that's just brilliant. All right, anyway, keep it up and take care now.
A really heartwarming and uplifting message from Rob, aka Menion. He is the voice, and I am a regular listener to his podcast, Confessions of a Wee Timorous Bushy. I'm going to keep it short and sweet, and that is by no means selling Rob short. I am super stoked to be getting into teaching. Had a really good day today, as it goes. We've got the I've taken over, I've kind of inherited the Vex Robotics Club. There's only six, and it fluctuates between, well, it fluctuates between six and eight of the lowest grade of kids. They're the youngest, the lowest grade. That sounds terrible, but I know what I mean. They're great kids. They're the youngest, is what I'm really badly trying to say. And so enthusiastic, getting to know them a little bit more. We've been having some fun with the cahoots. I chuck them a few things on our Google Classroom, and you always get encouraging comments, and it's really nice to see them problem solving, building their robots, going online, finding designs and all that sort of stuff. It's totally what I wanted to get into the job for. Maybe it's the honeymoon period. I look at some of the other teachers who are not trainees. Obviously, they're snowed under with work, and I'd like to think that by the time that's me, I'll get myself into some kind of order, and maybe I can hold my own. We'll have to see, but thanks very much, Rob. I said I wouldn't waffle on, and yeah, I would like to think that, yeah, perhaps some inspiring words for you, and I hope you, you get out of that little rut that you've maybe talked about, and I know you've talked about. So all the best with that, and I really, really do appreciate your call.
Hello, Colin. Just Safer here. I just want to say what a great podcast your 453 Into the Pit was. Absolutely chock-a-block, mate. Fantastic. Loved it. Like an encyclopedic diary journal episode, and yet none of it rambling, just full of good stuff. So much to comment on. I haven't got much time. I love your Curse of Strahd campaign, mate. I love the dynamic between you and your family, the energy, the familiarity, the level of comfort in there. It just creates a great vibe and atmosphere. I love it. Real role playing, mate. Yeah, Heart of Darkness, I never got through it, mate. Really stodgy stuff. Couldn't get to the end. And yeah, don't let perfect be the enemy of good. Yeah, mate, I feel you about being in a rut, man. You've encouraged me, mate. You know, I'm going to do something. Just one thing. Just one simple thing. I'm going to do it now. I don't know if it's going to be sculpting or drawing or writing. Where's my pencil? I'm going to do it now. Cheers, Colin.
Oh, shucks, Safer. Oh, man. I do try. I try and get as... Oh, I don't know. I try and mix it up and get some useful stuff in there. And I'm so pleased that you've recognised that and you're enjoying it as you are with the actual plays. I'm really aware and conscious of the fact that they're unedited and super rough, but yeah, I just can't get into editing all them, and I know some people appreciate that, the honesty of that type of thing. And I'm sure we all wish Safer the best of luck with his creative endeavours, and hopefully he'll call in and let us know that he's had some success. And talking of creative endeavours and pencils, I've got just the man for you. Like he says, long time no calling, but we certainly don't worry about things like that. Always a pleasure to hear from this gentleman.
Hey, Spike, Lonely Adventurer here. Long time no calling. Heck, long time no podcast from me either. It's been an eventful year on my side, and I just haven't had the time or the energy for it. But nothing bad, all good. Just life's taking me in a different direction for a little while. But I'm still gaming, and I'm still designing, and still really kind of quietly lurking on the Anchor podcast, enjoying listening to all of them. I'm super excited that you ran Tomb of the Serpent Kings. This was actually the first OSR dungeon that I ran about 2 years ago now, maybe even three. And yeah, I had a really good time with it. I'm kind of eager to find another group who wants to play through it again. I think I would do a better job this time. But it was, like I said, my introduction to OSR and the first time I played basic D&D. You're definitely right about that that particular trap that is a bit on the deadly side early on in the dungeon. I had used it to, I'd use an opening scenario where my players were hunting goblins down and found the tomb by accident, and one of the goblins got away, and it triggered the trap before they could catch it. And though they didn't see what happened, they saw the results of what happened, and the trap had been reset. So I think, and I've heard other advice to like kind of like really foreshadow that one in some way or another to avoid a fatality there. But yeah, just a great, great dungeon. I don't like snakes, so I swapped out a lot of stuff, and I think we use regular goblins, and I added a whole dungeon to the side dungeon onto it to really expand on them, but really enjoyed it. I'm running out of time again. Anyway, really enjoyed the episode. Glad you enjoyed Tomb of the Serpent Kings, and hopefully we'll talk online soon. Have a great one.
Yeah, it is something nice, especially nice, I think, to hear from old friends who you may be wondering what they're up to. So an update there from Lonely. If you didn't catch it, I did a review and overview kind of play report of my experience with Tomb of the Serpent Kings. It is a very popular adventure. I heard about it because it was popular and it didn't disappoint. So he mentions foreshadowing, of course, the friend of the GM, and also the friend of the GM, the having the confidence to chop and change things about. You know, if you don't like snakes, like Lonely, take them out. If you don't like anything you find, you can't let that worry you and let that hamper you. I'm sure all the creators in this hobby are keen to see changes and probably, especially with these smaller products, hear about those changes. So if you're using somebody's product and you've enjoyed it, reach out, let them know. I know, speaking as, you know, as a creator myself, in some ways, I mean, you know, podcasting particularly, it is nice to hear when people appreciate something that you've done, and it is, feels a little bit self-indulgent, this episode, because people calling in generously heaping on the praise. I don't know how much of that I truly deserve. And I felt like I was, in my reply to Menyon, suggesting that I may have inspired him. Of course, I don't really mean inspired. Encouraged, perhaps, is a more fitting and less, I don't know, overblown word for, you know, just putting a few ideas together and throwing them into a podcast and seeing if people are interested. And it is good to hear that people are, you know, stopping and thinking, oh yeah, you know, and we can have these conversations. And of course, we're not always going to agree. In fact, my buddy Joe Richter, only the other day I was listening to his episode of Hindsight List, where he was talking how he enjoys the to and fro in the evergreen debate that is, what is the OSR? You know, he enjoys poking the bear a little bit and getting a response, and you're always going to get a response if you're talking about such hot potatoes as definitions. And yeah, it is good to talk. And when you get those call-ins, you're rewarded for your efforts, and you don't feel like you're just talking into some mic and how these words are just hot air. And there's no mistaking that there is some value for people that are listening in. So that's just something I enjoy. So thanks for putting up with me. Thanks for listening in. And I'm going to close out the show now before we go to the end credits with a little bit more gaming talk and a little bit more appreciation. And I'd like to give a bit of appreciation for my old buddy Jason Connolly here. He's you know, holding down the fort, shall we say, with regular call-ins for a lot of people, as are other callers in today's episode. But I thought he sounded a little bit tired in this episode, and clearly he's kind of trying to do his due diligence, and well, what he sees is his due diligence, listening in. And just a personal message to you, Jason, if you are doing me the courtesy of listening in, You know, man, if you're tired and you don't have to kill yourself calling into old Spike Pit, I'll be all right, mate. You know, you get your rest, you concentrate on your driving or whatever it is that you need to do. Don't worry about me. Don't be feeling guilty if you don't call. But if you want to, of course, I'm always happy to listen and play your stuff. But you close out the show, my friend. And, yeah, we'll go straight into the end credits after that.
You don't need to play all these. I know I'm a little bit rambly. Just want to let you know I'm out here. I'm listening to your podcast, enjoying your podcast. And I'm glad things seem to be going well for you. I look forward to hearing about your plays with Sonny. Beowulf Age of Heroes is really neat. I've really enjoyed it. It's definitely something that's a great one-on-one game. It's a great use of 5e and a great version of 5e. So, mind you, I haven't really played regular 5e, but as far as the 5e I've played, I really like Beowulf.
And that, as they say, is a wrap. Big thanks goes out to you, the listener, for taking a bit of time out of your day to listen to old Spike Pit. Take care, and I'll catch you later.